really, no one cares about us. What they care about is how we can transform their business or their lives. And the way you crafted your headline is a lot more interesting than being the owner of your company.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Daniel Alphon. Here's three facts that I think you should know about him. One, he is one of the first 1,000 people to post a job on LinkedIn. He joined LinkedIn in February of 2004. That was so long time ago, almost last century, not quite, but almost. And three, he is an avid thriller reader, and thriller not as in Michael Jackson, no, thriller as in crime suspense, and he reads in three languages, and his favorite thriller series is Earl Stanley Gardner's Perry Mason. I remember the TV series. Daniel Alphon, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, thank you very much for having me on Your Intended Message, and I was looking forward to our chat. Thanks.
Delighted to be talking with you today. You're hailing in from Israel. Which city?
Gan Yavne, south, just outside of Tel Aviv.
Just outside of Tel Aviv. Well, welcome. It's great to make the connection. Daniel, we are going to take a look at how you leverage and how you help people leverage LinkedIn to make their business more productive. And let's start with some of the mistakes that you see people making when it comes to LinkedIn.
With pleasure. LinkedIn is not very intuitive for most people. I'd like to mention briefly five main areas we should look at differently. One is our profile versus our page. A lot of entrepreneurs and business owners think their company page on LinkedIn is important. And for most of us, for SMB owners, for consultants, for coaches, the profile is way more important than the company page. The second point is in terms of your connection strategy. I would suggest that you stick to quality, connect with people you know well, instead of quantity. Exposure is overrated on LinkedIn. And maybe a third point, try to think of your own profile, George, as a website and not as a CV. Not as a resume. It doesn't matter.
A CV, got it. Okay, resume, CV, got it.
The objective of your profile should be to convert. Convert your ideal reader. And the way you do it is show your ideal reader the information that is likely to make them understand that contacting you, George, is the next logical step.
And Daniel, as I hear that, that makes so much sense that I want to shut down this interview right now and go back and do some more work on my profile. And I suspect that a lot of the mistakes that people make when it comes to LinkedIn is because they still think about where it started and not where it is now. And it started, it was a place to post your resume. It was a place for recruiters to go and find candidates.
That's right. The simple suggestion I would have now is to use LinkedIn the way you want to use it. And our listeners here and our audience here could have different answers to that question. What is my career objective? For some people, it would be finding talents and candidate. That's fine. But if you're not looking for a job as an employee, then it doesn't make sense to do that. If you want more leads, if you want more speakers who want coaching, then your profile should help them understand why they need to get in touch with you and improve their skills.
If we're a business owner, a business leader, we need to look at our profile from the point of who's that we most want to look at our profile, and that when they get there, they say, this is the one. This is the one I want. As opposed to us listing every place we ever worked and every little project we ever worked on and you know, and what we did in when we were a little kid. Like, who cares?
You're absolutely right. It boils down to your intended message. What should be your intended message? And in three quick steps, who's your ideal reader? Exactly like you said. The second question is, what would you like those people, what action would you like those people to perform after they visit your profile? And the third, are you providing them with the information in the right order for their brain to process it and say, hey, I want to reach out to that person? I was listening to an episode he had with Diana Buher, an executive presence coach, and you divided it into four buckets, if I remember correctly. Right, the first was the first impression and how you speak as a leader, and how you handle Q&A, and lastly about your personality. We may transform those four buckets to LinkedIn quite easily. The first impression is what we see when we visit your profile or when we see you as one of the search results. So it's really the banner and the headline. That in 2 seconds, that's what most people see. And then it's the term you use and the way you make people understand they need to scroll and discover a little more about you. And the way you handle Q&A would be the way you interact on LinkedIn, whether you share, whether you comment, whether you like or ask questions on LinkedIn. And your personality should reflect your real life personality. You shouldn't create a personality for LinkedIn. LinkedIn is here to serve you as a business leader and not the other way around.
Don't be a slave to the machine.
Own the machine.
And Daniel, I noticed looking at your profile, I noticed your banner has the images of, it looks like podcasts that you've been on.
That's right. I tried to change my banner a couple of times, a year. And these were three really interesting hosts I was honored to speak with. And our limit is really our imagination. If our listeners have not been on the podcast, then maybe they could think of a quote or a life motto or a photo they feel represents them. The real limit is not LinkedIn. The real limit is our brain here. Most people, as you know, don't upload any banner. So even by adding something that is just okay, you stand out from the crowd.
And in the case of you having the images from the podcast you've been on, so that demonstrates you as an authority.
Yes, the banner is a great place to highlight or to showcase your thought leadership. And one of the things we need to remember is that whenever someone Googles our name, then our LinkedIn profile will be one of the very top results. When I Google George Torok, it's the third result. Even though you published books and you're on a lot of other platforms, LinkedIn is rated very highly on Google.
Now that's interesting, Daniel, because that's And I've noticed that too, but I didn't put much thought into that. And it's probably something that a lot of people don't think about, that LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile comes up high in the Google search.
That's absolutely right. And it doesn't matter for the sake of our conversation that maybe the business leader has not visited their LinkedIn profile or hasn't logged in for 2 years. It doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about our audience.
And Daniel, the headline is a critical part, I notice your headline, let me see if I got it right, it says, too much business, question mark, too much business from LinkedIn, question mark, then don't visit your site. Something like that.
Absolutely. I think the headline is our most important and our most expensive real estate in terms of text. It's the first phrase that visitors see, even without visiting your profile. And your headline should be as your headline could help people who discover you understand that they're missing something if they don't visit your profile. And it should be short and make it as easy as possible for your ideal clients to say, I want to check that person out.
And the standard practice is for people to put their title or titles in the headline.
Absolutely. So by default, it would be owner, speech coach for executives. But you have turned yours around. Now it says, deliver your intended message more effectively, virtually or in person, conversation or presentation. And what I like about it is that really no one cares about us. What they care about is how we can transform their business or their lives. And the way you crafted your headline is a lot more interesting than being the owner of your company.
If you're going to be on LinkedIn, sounds like you need to think more like a marketer.
That's when your career is, if you're a consultant, if you want more leads, then it certainly makes sense. And even for talents, it still makes sense to think as a marketer. LinkedIn has close to 1 billion members. Every second, 2 people sign up. So it's the world's largest business community, and you want to convey the message that you're a professional. So you need to think as a marketer.
Now, Daniel, and perhaps here's another myth or mistake we make. One of the mistakes is we try to build as many contacts as we can. We want to get to that, 10,000, 20,000, 20,000 contacts. Oh, aren't I popular?
You're absolutely right. And I think leading or selling is not a popularity contest. And the question we should ask ourselves is really, would we be even able to keep in touch with those people? And in most cases, we simply can't. Now, once we run an advanced search on LinkedIn and we find an ideal prospect, in some cases we see that we share a mutual connection. Do we recognize the name of that mutual connection? Can we leave LinkedIn and ask that meaningful connection for an introduction? That can only happen if we know those people. So say I visited John Black's profile. She was a guest on your intended message, and I saw that you were my only mutual connection. So if I look at this and I say, George, who? Then you would look at my profile and say, Daniel, who? We don't have a meaningful relationship. But if we have, then I may be able to reach out to you and ask how you've been, and then ask, I see that you're connected with Joanne. Would you feel comfortable introducing me? Because I wanted to ask her something. And that doesn't happen if you reach a lot of connections. You need to pick either trust or exposure. The sad truth is that most people start with quality, think they must get to the quantity, and never reach quantity. They don't have 10K. They don't have 20K. They may have 3K. And 3K is not a real exposure, while polluting the quality of their network. So pick one, either quantity 30K or quality people you know best.
Daniel, you have, I think, around 1,200 contacts on LinkedIn, which, and again, my first impression was when I looked, oh, this guy's a LinkedIn expert, doesn't have a lot of contacts. That was my first impression. Those contacts, I'm guessing you selected each one specifically. and your criteria for picking, for connecting with them, what's your criteria?
You're absolutely right, and it's a great question. I have actually less than that. Some of them are followers, so I have less than 1,000 real-life connections, if you like. And for me, George, the connection or hitting accept is the end of a process. So if we had a meaningful conversation, then I would either accept the invitation or send one. But if I'm asking myself, will that person, when asked in 2 years' time, will remember anything from our conversation? And it naturally happens, you know, pre-COVID, if we work together side by side for some time, or if we had some virtual relationship that lasted or was significant enough. And instead of just saying, wow, I'm hot, I'm popular, I have 5K, just ask yourself, are you translating those connections into business? Are you managing to transform those contacts into revenues? And instead of chasing LinkedIn metrics, chase real life metrics, revenues, orders, meetings, inquiries, because that's how our build is, how businesses are built.
Daniel, so when you connect, and you said the connection is the end of the process, so what happens before the connection? How do you have that conversation if you aren't even connected yet?
Naturally, when I speak with people and I reach a point where I think we have built a rapport, then I would go to LinkedIn and then I would send or accept their invitation. So it could be, you know, at the end of today, and it could be some other time. Real life interaction around our work happens even without LinkedIn. And then for me, LinkedIn is the place where I would go and acknowledge that relationship. There is also another way to look at it that would be completely upside down. You can connect with people on LinkedIn and then build a relationship. And that could work. But if you only connect and you have no relationship at all whatsoever, not before and not after, then you're leaving a lot of money on the table and you're chasing the wrong metrics.
And Daniel, let's assume that someone chooses to follow that process of connecting and then building. What's the best way after connecting to build?
Don't use automation for a start. So acknowledge, reply to that person's invitation and say, thank you very much, George. It was great speaking with you on your intended message. And who can I introduce you to? Or who would be your ideal guest for 2022? So just ask a meaningful question that would enable you to serve that person. Because the relationship, I specialized in long-term relationships. My business is based on referrals. Some of the people I get referrals from, I've met maybe a decade ago. If I just disappeared from their lives, there was no way they could even refer someone to me. And we have a limited amount of time. So how do we best use the limited time we have is one question we're facing on a daily basis. Try to keep in touch with that person without forcing them to do anything. It's your job now to help them and to serve them and to earn their trust.
And Daniel, the best way to keep do you use LinkedIn posting or LinkedIn messaging to keep in touch, or do you take it outside LinkedIn through email or phone calls?
That's a great question. I'm not asked that question a lot, and I think most business leaders should think about that. I'm going to give my 2 cents, but even thinking about the question makes a lot of sense. I think our website is more converting than LinkedIn. So if people go to torg.com, they're likelier to see what you offer. And there's a whole life outside of LinkedIn. And at one point, we need to move outside of LinkedIn into real life or into messaging. My website has two articles about the title of which is Living LinkedIn is Good for You. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a powerful platform, but not everything needs to happen there. Just like in the example we mentioned about finding someone and asking for the introduction. If I wanted to ask you, George, for an introduction, then I wouldn't do it on LinkedIn. I would email you. And if I knew that we had a meeting in 2 weeks' time in Burlington, Ontario, then I would wait and ask you on that day. It doesn't have to happen on LinkedIn.
Hmm. Now, Daniel, I'm wondering, and I'm thinking, would it be best if we thought about LinkedIn as kind of the pre-pandemic days where we go to the monthly networking meeting, perhaps at the Chamber of Commerce or the association that we're a member of, where you go and you meet people, you exchange cards, but then you follow up later with telephone call or meet for a coffee? Should we think of LinkedIn as simply it's a place to connect, but it's not a place to build a relationship?
The Chamber of Commerce scenario is good for people starting out, if you like. If we were relocating from our respective cities to Los Angeles, then maybe we'd need to go into some sort of BNI group or BNI group would probably be more around business and maybe more relevant for some people. What I found is that following up is something a lot of leaders don't do when it refers to their connection strategy on LinkedIn. They follow up thoroughly when they work, and they simply neglect their own relationship, their own network and their own relationships, which is a pity, because in 5 years' time, what will happen is not what you do, it's who knows you. And as much as I want to praise your work, it's not enough. It's not enough that you're the best coach. If people don't understand that, then you'll get no further inquiries. So it's your job to try and keep in touch with people you've met without asking for anything in return, because at one point they will remember you and either refer someone to you or mention you to someone who could become a great prospect or a great guest on your intended message.
Daniel, at one time when we used to meet in person and it was easier to get a person's mailing address, one of the practices that I did at one time, I stopped doing, was sending a handwritten note, a quick message, you know, great to meet you here, you know, look forward to seeing you again. By the way, let me know when I can help you, something like that. And I got out of that practice because we've gotten into this whole digital thing. How do we go back to that? Or how do we get close to doing that again?
You know, George, if you actually reverted to that practice today, I think it could stand out from 99% of digital marketers. And why is that? Because you would have to actually write down a handwritten postcard or message. It would take you 40 seconds, right? But it would still stand out because messages are the leaders we're looking at probably received thousands of emails since we started just this conversation. And they haven't received 1,000 handwritten thank you notes from George or from Daniel. So it would enable you to, you can think about it as a guerrilla tactic. It's old school, but it could work in some cases. The personal touch is very meaningful to people.
Mm. Daniel, you've got a cheat sheet, a free cheat sheet available for helping people to review and their headline on your website. Tell us the address that's at.
With pleasure. It's danielalfon.com. Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, A-L-F, LinkedIn.com. And it's right there at the homepage. If you scroll, you'll see the cheat sheet. And it really, it's a simple way to consider your cheat sheet, your headline, and improve it by seeing examples of what other people's write and how you can transform your headline into a customer-friendly or customer-focused headline.
And you can find the link in the description below to that cheat sheet. And I'm happy to say that I took advantage of that. And right after I did, I rewrote my headline. And I guess that's a good place for everyone to start by with their profile on LinkedIn. Daniel, when people work with you and they say, Daniel, help me out. I'm using LinkedIn. I don't know if I'm using it right. What can I do better? How can I find more quality leads, more quality contacts? What process do you take them through?
I ask a lot of dumb questions to start with. Like, who's your ideal client? And what are you doing outside of LinkedIn? And what are your business objectives for the next 2 quarters? And are there any events in real life or launches or meetups or anything you're doing in real life that LinkedIn could take advantage of or anything you can think of? And then we'll look at your existing LinkedIn activity, if you'd like. Your profile, your connections. We analyze your connections in order to see whether you're closer to quality or closer to quantity. And then we often, I give a short overview of 5 or 6 ways to leverage LinkedIn for lead generation. And we try to pick one instead of just trying a tactic for a week and then moving to something else. And then it's a process working with the leader or someone that he designates or she designates. In order, the metrics I try to focus on are real life metrics. So if you have X inquiries and you'd like to have 20% more, then it's my job to make LinkedIn help you get those 20% more. And you don't need to focus on the number of connections or likes or views or shares. This is all like a black box. It's not important. If it brings you more qualified leads, great. If not, it doesn't matter that you have now 30K connections if you can't translate it to business. So out of the damn questions, we build a system we agree on.
Daniel, is it a good idea to post regularly on LinkedIn?
Regularly, I would say yes. Frequently, probably not. So regularly could be once a month. There were quarters I haven't shared anything. And I live, the 90% of my business comes through LinkedIn. Frequently, if we try to share twice or 3 times a week, at one point, most of our connections will become blind to our content. And if that's okay with you, I would like to share a free article I wrote about like a flow chart. What's the best way for us to, about frequency and the best way for us to share content on LinkedIn.
And how do we get hold of that? That sounds valuable.
It's the very first article I wrote on LinkedIn. I'll just, if you go to LinkedIn and look me up, it's right there in the article section or on my website, that's danielalfon.com, and it's there.
Okay, you can find that article on Daniel's LinkedIn, and you can find that link in the description below as well. Daniel, I'm preparing to wrap up. If you could sit down with a business leader, a professional who's out there building business, wants to build business through LinkedIn, they're using LinkedIn as a contact. If you could give them, and maybe this is something you've already said, but if you could give them 1, 2, or 3 pieces of advice of how they could make better use of their time and the LinkedIn as a tool, not as entertainment.
Great. I haven't said this, but what I would actually start with is suggesting that those business leaders ask someone to look them up on LinkedIn, preferably someone they're not connected with, and simply ask that person if you never heard of me and you looked at this, what would, can you walk me through the process of your initial thoughts? And in some cases, they would be amazed by what people say. Because we sometimes our intended message gets changed or modified, and we meant A, and everybody understands B. So, George, it's our responsibility to fine-tune that message. And in the Superior Presentations book you wrote, the very first tip I remember is, it's not about you. So that would be my piece of advice for any business leaders. Start with that, and then you'll find a way to continue and improve what you're doing in LinkedIn to get revenues, to get leads, to get qualified leads and clients, and later fire clients you don't enjoy working with.
That's a good tip.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you a question, if I may.
Go ahead, Daniel, please.
So you've published over 600 articles, and you've written books, and you've helped a lot of coaches improve their presentation skills. When you start working with a new client today, is there any change compared with George Stark of 10 or 15 years ago? Is there anything you've changed?
I would like to think that I've grown and learned something in the past 10 or 15 years. The principles stay the same. What I believe is more relevant is that I'm more interested in their audience. What's going on in the mind? So when someone comes to me and says, George, can you help me deliver a superstar presentation? I say, probably not, but I can help you get better. And the first thing is, who are you speaking to, and why? What is it? What's going on in their mind, and where do you want to move them? And I would say the biggest change, too, is I like to think that I've become less dogmatic of it, you have to do it this way. No, you have to do it in a way that works, and that works for you, but especially for your prospect, your audience.
Great, thanks.
And Daniel, it's curious what you were saying about, and I appreciate that, get someone else who's not connected to you, doesn't know you real well, or to look at your LinkedIn profile and say, hey, what do you see? And it's funny, I met with an individual for coffee pre-pandemic, and this person had just left their corporate job, and now they were going to become a consultant. And so they asked me to look at their LinkedIn, and I looked at the LinkedIn and I said, oh, looks like you're still looking for a corporate job. You might want to revise it. And they had no clue. They had no clue because they were so wrapped up in themselves. Good reminder. Get someone else to look at it. And Daniel, my guest today is Daniel Alphon, reminding you to, instead of chasing LinkedIn metrics, chase real metrics like revenue.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.